Imagine you've just landed at Charles de Gaulle Airport. You're expecting the fantasy. You're expecting the France of Louis Vuitton ads, endless cafe terraces, and a work-life balance that makes American capitalism look like a penal colony. You think you're entering a wealthy superpower, but you're wrong. You're stepping into a country that is quietly, politely, and steadily going broke. A country where the middle class is evaporating, where the most ambitious young people are fleeing, and where the government is sitting on a debt bomb that makes Italy look fiscally responsible. The croissants are still good, but the economics, they're terrifying. Welcome to the reality of the French decline. Here are seven reasons why France is poorer than you think. 1. The smicardization of the soul. Let's play a game. Imagine you're a young French professional. You did everything right. You suffered through the classes preparatoires. You got your master's degree. You speak decent English. You land a good job in a mid-sized city like Lyon or Bordeaux. You open your first paycheck and you stare at it. 1940 euros. That's the net monthly median salary in France as of 2024. That means half the population earns less than that. Now, compare that to your friend who didn't go to college. Maybe they work as a cashier, or a cleaner, or an unqualified server. They're on the SMIC, the Salaire Minimum Interprofessionnel de Croissance, the minimum wage. As of 2024, the net SMIC is around 1400 euros. Do you see the problem? The gap between surviving and middle class is less than 550 euros a month. In the US, the gap between a minimum wage worker and a median earner is massive. In France, it's a rounding error. This phenomenon has a name. Economists call it smicardization. It's the great flattening. Over the last 20 years, France has essentially compressed its wage structure into a pancake. Because the cost of labor is so high for companies, we'll get to the taxes later, oh boy, will we? Employers simply cannot afford to give raises. So when the government raises the minimum wage to keep up with inflation, which they do, aggressively, the bottom floor rises but the ceiling stays where it is. The result? The floor is eating the room. Decades ago, only a small percentage of French workers were on minimum wage. Today, it's over 17% of the workforce, and for millions more, they are hovering just a few euros above it. Imagine the psychological toll of that. You study for 5 years, you take on stress, you manage a team, and you take home barely more than the guy stocking shelves. Why bother working harder? Why bother innovating? This isn't just an economic statistic, it's a motivation killer. It turns the entire country into a participation trophy, where the prize is barely being able to afford rent. Speaking of rent, if you think that 900 euros goes far because healthcare is free, let me introduce you to the French real estate market. In Paris, a decent studio apartment, not a palace, a box where you can touch the fridge from your bed, costs between 2,200 euros and 1,500 euros a month. Do the math. On a median salary, living in the capital is mathematically impossible without roommates or rich parents. You aren't living in Paris, you are camping in it. 2. The museum economy, deindustrialization. If you drive 2 hours north of the luxury boutiques of Paris, you enter a different world. This is the Rust Belt of France, the Hauts de France, the Grand Est. This is where the ghost of French industry lives. You see, we have this image of France as a powerhouse. We think of Airbus, nuclear power plants, and high-speed trains. And yes, those exist. But they are the remnants of a glorious past, not the indicators of a vibrant present. Here is the brutal truth. France doesn't make things anymore. Look at the numbers. Manufacturing now accounts for barely 10% of France's GDP. Compare that to Germany, where it's nearly double that, or Italy, or even Poland. France has deindustrialized faster and harder than almost any other Western nation. Why? Because for 40 years, French policy was obsessed with the idea of a post-industrial society. The geniuses in Paris decided that factories were dirty and old-fashioned. They wanted France to be a nation of consultants, designers, and luxury brand managers. They bet everything on services and tourism. They bet on becoming the museum of the world. And it worked, for the tourists. France is the number one tourist destination on earth. But you can't build a superpower on waiters and tour guides. The consequences are devastating. When you lose factories, you lose the high-paying blue-collar jobs that sustain the middle class in rural areas. When those jobs go to Poland or China, the towns die. The bakery closes, the school shrinks, the doctor retires and isn't replaced. This is the fuel for the political rage you see on the news. When you see the yellow vests, gilets jaunes, burning toll booths, They aren't doing it because they hate Macron or love violence. They're doing it because they live in these peripheral ghost towns where the only economic activity left is a supermarket and an Amazon warehouse. They are the casualties of the museum economy. While Paris sells €3,000 handbags to American tourists, the rest of the country is fighting over crumbs. And here is the kicker. During the COVID pandemic, France realized, in a panic, that it didn't even have the capacity to manufacture paracetamol. The country that invented the vaccine, Pasteur anyone, had to beg India and China for basic painkillers. That is the reality of a country that forgot how to build. Hey, quick pause. If you're realizing that your dream of moving to a chateau might need a budget adjustment, hit that subscribe button. We dig into the dark side of the global economy every week, and let me know in the comments. Would you rather earn €5,000 in a country with no healthcare, or BOS €500 in a country where it's free? I'm genuinely curious. 3. The debt bomb. No one talks about. Let's talk about the national credit card. You might hear about the US debt crisis a lot, but the US has a printing press and the world's reserve currency. France does not. France uses the euro. It cannot print its way out of trouble. It relies on the kindness of strangers, specifically bond markets and German patients. In 2024, France's public debt hit 113% of GDP. To put that in perspective, the European Union rules, the famous Maastricht criteria, say you're supposed to keep debt under 60%. France hasn't seen 60% since the internet was invented. Here is a fun, terrifying fact. France has not passed a balanced government budget since 1974. For 50 years, half a century, the French government has spent more than it earned. Every single year. Left-wing governments, right-wing governments, centrists. It doesn't matter. The addiction to spending is bipartisan. Where does the money go? It's not going into infrastructure, bridges are crumbling. It's not going into the military, we're relying on NATO. It's going into social protection. France spends a staggering 32% to 34% of its GDP on social spending. That is the highest in the world. Higher than Sweden, higher than Denmark. It is a welfare state on steroids. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nice to have a safety net. It's great that no one dies in the street from a lack of insulin. But this level of spending is mathematically unsustainable when your economy isn't growing. You're paying for a Rolls-Royce welfare state with a Peugeot economy, and the bill is coming due. In 2024, the interest payments on the French debt alone became one of the largest budget items, soon to eclipse the education budget. Think about that. France will spend more paying off past mistakes than it spends educating its future children. If that doesn't scream poorer than you think, I don't know what does. 4. The great salary illusion, tax hellscape. If there is one thing France is world champion at, beating even Brazil in football, it is taxation. Let's go back to that HR office from earlier. Remember the €1,740 paycheck? To get that money into your bank account, a financial murder scene had to take place first. Here is how it works. And if you are American, sit down, because this might induce vertigo. Let's say a company wants to hire you for a decent mid-level job. They are willing to spend €60,000 a year on you. That is the super brute, the total cost to the employer. First, the government takes a massive bite called employer contributions. Poof, gone. Now your gross salary, the number written on your contract, is about €43,000. But wait, you don't get €43,000. Now the government takes employee contributions for social security, retirement, unemployment, etc. Another huge bite. Now you're left with your net salary, roughly €33,000. But we aren't done, because now you have to pay income tax on that net salary. By the time the money actually hits your pocket to buy groceries, nearly 50% of what your employer paid for your labour has vanished into the state coffers. France has the highest tax burden in the OECD. The government confiscates about 45-48% of the entire country's GDP in taxes and social charges every year. This creates a vicious cycle of poverty. Companies can't afford to pay high net salaries because the taxes on top are astronomical. Employees have no disposable income to spend, so the local economy stagnates. The government sees the stagnation and says, "We need more money to fix this," and raises taxes again. It's an economic boa constrictor. It squeezes slowly and you don't realize you're suffocating until you try to save money at the end of the month and realize you can't. And God help you if you try to get rich. France has a cultural allergy to wealth. We literally had a solidarity tax on wealth, ESF, for years that taxed you just for having assets, regardless of your income. It scared away thousands of millionaires. Macron replaced it with a real estate wealth tax, but the message remains. Success is suspicious. Please apologize for it by giving us half. 5. A Ponzi scheme called retirement. You probably saw the news in 2023. Paris was burning, garbage was piled high in the streets, riot police were charging through tear gas. Why? Was it a war? A coup? No. The government proposed raising the retirement age from 62 to 64. To the rest of the world, this looked insane. In Germany, the retirement age is heading to 67. In the UK and US, it's similar. But in France, asking people to work 2 more years was treated like a human rights violation. But here is the dark reality those protesters didn't want to admit. The French pension system is a demographic Ponzi scheme. It is a pay-as-you-go system. That means the money taken from your paycheck today isn't being saved for your retirement. It is being wired directly to a retiree right now. You are paying for your grandma's vacation in Nice. This system works great when you have 4 workers for every 1 retiree. That was France in the 1960s. Today, it's roughly 1.7 workers for every 1 retiree, and dropping. France is getting old. The baby boomers are retiring en masse, and the birth rate, while higher than the rest of Europe, is not high enough to replace them. So you have a shrinking pool of young, underpaid workers, remember the smickerdization, trying to support a growing army of retirees who are living longer than ever. The math is brutal. It simply does not work. The system is bleeding billions of euros a year. To plug the hole, the government has 2 choices. 1. Cut pensions, political suicide. 2. Raise the retirement age, political suicide, but slightly slower. So the country is stuck in a paralyzed state of denial. The young know they will probably never see a full pension, yet they are taxed to death to pay for the old. It is an intergenerational robbery that is making the working population poorer every single day. 6. The Great Brain Drain, Exodus of the Elite. If you walk into a Goldman Sachs office in London, a Google office in Zurich, or a research lab in Montreal, look at the badges. You will see a shocking number of French names. France produces brilliant minds. The education system, specifically the elite Grandes Écoles, is fantastic at churning out world-class engineers, mathematicians, and financiers. But France cannot keep them. This is the brain drain, and it is bleeding the country dry of its most valuable resource, human capital. Imagine you're a top-tier AI researcher. Option A, stay in Paris. Earn $45,000 a year. Pay 50% taxes. Struggle to rent a 30-square-meter apartment. Deal with a gloomy hierarchy where you wait 15 years for a promotion. Option B, move to California or Switzerland. Earn $150,000 a year. Pay lower taxes. Live in a house. Lead a team immediately. It's not a hard choice. Estimates suggest that between 2.5 and 3 million French citizens live abroad. But it's not a random sample. These are the risk takers, the entrepreneurs, the scientists. When the smartest people leave, innovation leaves with them. This is why there is no French Google or French Amazon. There are very few French tech giants created in the last 20 years. The founders left. They built Snowflake in the US. They built Moderna, the CEO is French, in the US. France is effectively subsidizing the rest of the world. The French taxpayer pays for the expensive education of these geniuses, and then the US or UK economy reaps the profits of their labor. It creates a country that feels stagnant, a country where the ambition is capped. If you stay, you accept the ceiling. If you want to break through, you buy a plane ticket. It's getting a bit depressing, isn't it? But stick with me, because the final point ties this all together into something you see every day but never noticed. Before we get there, if you are French and watching this from London or New York, comment below. Tell us why you left. I bet it's reason number 4. 7. The collapse of public services. But wait, you argue. At least they have free healthcare. At least the trains are fast. Here is the saddest part of the decline. The free stuff is breaking. For decades, the unspoken contract in France was, we take half your money, but we give you world-class services. That contract is void. Visit a French emergency room today. You might wait 10, 12, sometimes 20 hours. There are medical deserts in rural France where you cannot find a GP to save your life. Doctors are retiring, and the quota system, numerous clauses, kept the number of new doctors artificially low for decades. Look at the education system. French students used to be among the best in math. In the latest PISA rankings, France has dropped to the middle of the pack, with inequality skyrocketing. Teachers are underpaid and demoralized, leading to a recruitment crisis where the government is hiring unqualified staff just to put warm bodies in classrooms. Look at the justice system. It is notoriously slow and underfunded. The tragedy is that the French are still paying luxury prices, high taxes, but receiving budget service. When the public sector fails, those with money opt out. They send their kids to private schools, they go to private clinics, they use private security. This creates a two-tier society. The rich insulate themselves from the decline, while the poor and the middle class are left with crumbling infrastructure. The égalité carved onto the front of the town halls is starting to look less like a promise and more like a cruel joke. 8. The world champions of pessimism. If economics is the hardware of a country, psychology is the software. And France's software is glitching. You might think the most pessimistic people in the world live in war zones or places with extreme poverty. You'd be wrong. Year after year, global polls like BVA Gallup show that the French are the most pessimistic people on earth, often ranking lower than citizens of Iraq, Afghanistan, or Colombia regarding their view of the future. This is the hidden tax on the French economy: depression. Why is a country with 5-week paid vacations, the best cheese in the world, and high-speed trains so miserable? It comes down to the gap between expectation and reality. The French are raised on the myth of la Grande Nation. They grow up hearing about Napoleon, de Gaulle, the Enlightenment, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. They are told they are the center of the civilized world. But when they look out the window, they see a country that is shrinking in influence. They see a language that is being replaced by English, or globish, in business. They see their culture being Netflixized. This creates a collective cognitive dissonance. It's like a fading aristocrat who still lives in the castle but can't afford to heat it. They wear the velvet robes, but they're shivering. This pessimism becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Consumers don't spend because they fear the future. Saving rates in France are unusually high. Entrepreneurs don't start businesses because they fear failure is permanent. In France, bankruptcy is a social scarlet letter, unlike in the US, where it's a badge of honour. Voters embrace radicalism because they feel the system is rigged against them. This psychological weight is perhaps the hardest thing to fix. You can change a tax law in a week. You cannot change a national mood in a decade. France is currently trapped in a cycle of déclinisme, an obsession with its own decline, that makes it almost impossible to rally the country for the painful reforms it actually needs. 9. The canary in the coal mine for the West. Now, before you sit back in your chair in Chicago, London, or Toronto and laugh at the French, let me give you a warning. France is not an anomaly. It is a time machine. France is showing you exactly what happens when a wealthy Western democracy runs out of road. It is the test case for a specific type of economic disease that is coming for everyone else. Look at the symptoms. 1. Aging population. France hit the demographic wall first. The US is 10 years behind. 2. Deindustrialization. France gutted its factories faster, but the US Rust Belt is telling the same story. 3. Debt addiction. France's 110% debt to GDP is shocking, but the US is racing to catch up, running trillion-dollar deficits in peacetime. 4. Political polarization. The collapse of the centrist parties in France, socialists and republicans are basically dead, and the rise of the extremes, Le Pen versus the far left, is a preview of the polarization tearing apart the US and UK. France is the laboratory. It is trying to maintain a 20th century standard of living, with 21st century demographics and 19th century industrial thinking. If France collapses, if the bond vigilantes finally attack French debt, if the EU has to bail out the second largest economy in Europe, it won't just be a French problem. It will be a global financial cataclysm. It will be 2008, but with better wine and angrier rioters. So when you look at France, don't just see a poor country. See a warning flare. Final thoughts. So is France doomed? Is it destined to become a sprawling open-air museum where tourists throw coins at the natives? Not necessarily. France has bounced back before. This is a country that survived the Hundred Years' War, the Revolution, two World Wars, and occupation. There is a resilience in the French character, a stubbornness that shouldn't be underestimated. There are signs of life. The tech scene in Paris, Station F, is growing. There is a generation of young French people who are tired of the old dogmas, who want to work, build, and disrupt. They are fighting against the gravity of the system, but the math is relentless. The debt is real. The aging is real. The poverty of the middle class is real. France is currently living on borrowed time and borrowed money. The illusion of wealth is maintained by debt, and the social peace is maintained by spending money the state doesn't have. The question is not if the correction is coming. The question is when. And for you? The lesson is simple. Don't let the postcard fool you. Don't let the luxury brands distract you. And most importantly, look at your own country's balance sheet. Because the French disease is contagious, and you might already be infected. If you want to understand who might fall next, you need to watch our upcoming video on Why Germany is Dying Quietly, The Way Forward. It makes the French situation look like a picnic. And if you learned something today, if I shattered your Emily in Paris fantasy just a little bit, hit that like button. It helps the algorithm more than a government subsidy. See you in the next one.